Welcome to Christian Community Center of Los Angeles, or as we love to call it, 3CLA, the Church for Truth Seekers. I am Pastor Tom Washington, and it is a blessing to be given the opportunity to share the word of truth with you. Our prayer is that you take that truth and apply it to your life with power and authority. For more information about 3CLA and other teaching opportunities, please visit us at our website, 3CLA.org. We also encourage you to do as 2 Timothy 2:15 states, you must study to show yourself approved unto God, Yahweh, a workman needing not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Shalom.
Somebody say hallelujah. I don't know about you, but you know, I run to church. I gotta get here. I need some help. Amen. Actually, I don't need help. I need help. That's an urgency in that. But thank you for being here, not just those here in the sanctuary, but those also tuning in on iChurch, where we are streaming in Spanish and English. Hallelujah. And we have been blessed to bump up our speed, so we were going out at 100 mpbs. Now we're going out at 300. Hallelujah. All right. So if you happen to be on iChurch, you're not going to get any bumping and stopping, and going to get a clear signal. All right, so I usually teach in series, and I do that because a lot of times I just don't have enough time. However, I said this last week. We talked about our words versus His word. And there were so many nuggets in there, I didn't get a chance to finish. So I'm going to touch on that and do my best to try to finish that today, because I believe that we are in a time where we need to understand what His will is for our life. All the things that are going on in the world, it is important for us to speak the right thing. Complaining is not speaking the right thing. He's given us power to tread over serpents, He says, and scorpions, and over all the powers of the enemy. So if you don't like what you see going on in government and all those things, hey, pray about it. Put the word on it. Do you believe you got power or not? Let me say that again. Do you believe you have power or not? Right. So there are some things that we established for the last couple weeks, actually. And I want you to, you know, let me know if you agree or not. Go to John, or, you know, here at 3CLA, we're truth seekers, so we love to use the original Hebrew names, and we also love to delve into the Greek and the Hebrew words. So that's why you will see me or hear me using the King James Version, because in that version I can get the word and I can exegete, I can take that word and find out, trace the word to its root word, and that brings forth so much more understanding. I mean, you know, we see it all the time, like we use the name Yeshua, not the name Jesus, because Jesus came in 1611. So what were they calling him before that? And so we go back and we find that his name was Yeshua. And, you know, real easy test for that is that who saw Passion of the Christ? Okay, so Passion of the Christ, they used the original language. And so anytime that Yeshua spoke, or anytime someone was calling his name, they would say, Yeshua, Yeshua, because that's what they were calling him. Well, why is it so important? Well, because the word says, the Bible says, he was given a name that is above every name. And we find the meaning of Yeshua means he will save, he will deliver, and he will rescue. I always ask this, has anyone been saved, delivered, or rescued? So his name actually calls his meaning. And last time I checked, you don't have to translate a name. You can translate a word but you do not have to translate a name. Why? Because it's the name is the, whatever your name is your name all over the world. Because if you try to translate my name and you try to call me, you're going to call me something that I don't recognize and I ain't going to answer you. Because I don't know it. But as long as you call me Tom, Thomas, or Tommy, don't do it. That goes back. When somebody yells that, I know they from way back. All right. But I can answer to that. Why? Because that's my name. My name has meaning. And so when we look at John or Johanna, the first chapter, Johanna is the Hebrew name for John. And that's the first chapter, the first verse. I love this. So I gave you the background of John. He was a disciple. He walked with Yeshua. So he had that experience, right? And then at the cross, Yeshua said, hey, I'm about to get out of here. I'm paraphrasing this now. I'm going to go, but I have my mother here. And John, you're here. Behold, from now on, John, this is your mother. This is from the cross. He said this, Yeshua said this from the cross. He said, John, this is your mother. And mom, this is your son. Take care of each other. So he did that. So he spent years. He brought, took Mary into his home. Her Hebrew name is Miriam. Took her into his home, took care of her all the years until she went on. And so he had the experience of walking with Yeshua and walking with Mary or Miriam, right? And so in that experience, he was saturated. Somebody say marinated. Why do I say that? Because he walked with the word. And he got a bird's eye view of what was happening. So then when we read John or Johanan, that book, that epistle, that gospel, we're hearing from a man who spent many years in ministry, many experiences. And some people think that this was one of the first books that was written. It was actually one of the last ones. So this book, somebody say this, has been marinated. Now, it's all marinated by the Holy Ghost. But I'm using this as an example because the first thing that he says in this last book that was written says, I've been through a lot of stuff. I've seen a lot of things, but in the end, there's something that is the most important thing that I found in my whole walk. And if we go to the first chapter, the first verse, it says this, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, Yahweh, and the Word what? So he says, above all, before anything began, his word was there. And not only that, the word was with Yahweh, and the word what? Was him. Before anything ever existed, his word was there because it took his word to create the universe. He had to what? Speak it. He said, let there be what? Light. It didn't say he thought it. It says he what? He spoke it. He said it. So in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with Yahweh, and the Word was God. Yahweh. So can we get a consensus on before anything began was the Word? Do you agree? All right. I don't hear enough people agreeing on that. Because before I can show you stuff, you got to agree with the foundation. I can't go no further if you don't believe that. So do we believe that in the beginning was the Word? Yeah. Now, do we believe that the Word was with Yahweh, and the Word was Yahweh. He, the Word, right? And so we understand that the Greek word for the Word is logos. Say logos. And that is the total inspired word of Yahweh, right? And so do we all agree that the Word is the logos, right? Why do we say it's the inspired word? Because it is. That's what it is. In Greek, the logos means the blueprint. It starts with that. So before I even speak it, right? It's the blueprint so that when I speak it, then it starts being created. You follow that? You have the blueprint, and then when you speak the blueprint, what happens? It begins to be what? Created, done. So he said, let there be light. And there was a blueprint for light in his word. In his word. And when he spoke it, what happened? Light happened, right? And so if you understand the power of the word, you'll allow that to become alive in your life. And so in the beginning was the word was with Yahweh, the word was Yahweh. And the second verse says, the same was what? In the beginning with him. And then the 14th verse says what? And the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory as the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and what? Truth. So who is this? How is the word made flesh and dwelt among us? Well, we find out that is when Yahweh sent his son, Yeshua. That is who was wrapped up. So we understand in the beginning was the word. We understand that the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. So that word is Yeshua. Do you believe that Yeshua is the word? So if the word of Yahweh is the logos, then the living logos is who? Yeshua. So he is the word what? Wrapped in flesh. So he is, say, the living logos. So understanding that, we have established that we have to allow his word to do in our life what it's supposed to do. Now, we have a word in the Greek called rhema. Say rhema. Rhema is when you speak the word and make it alive, right? So when you act on it and you do it and you apply it, what happens? It becomes what? Alive. It becomes manifest in your life. So without you speaking the logos, it's not going to do anything. And so I gave you a demonstration last week. I had a bar of, well, it wasn't a bar of deodorant. It was a deodorant applicator. And the deodorant, we said, was the logos. So I can hold that deodorant. I could take it and smell it and handle it. But unless I apply the deodorant, it's not going to work. So rhema is when you take that word and you apply it. So if you don't apply it, you're going to stink. It's the truth. So you got this word. You guys come Wednesday sometimes. You come Sunday sometimes, right? And I was doing this in Bible study. I added up the hours that are in the week. I did this. And we found out, those that came to Bible study, that 100 and I believe it was 168 hours is in the week. Now, if you come to Bible study, you might be here for an hour and a half, 2 hours tops. If you come to a service like this, you'll be here for maybe two and a half hours. I'll round it out. If you come Wednesday and Sunday, you'll be here for 5 hours. You take that five, subtract it from the 168, you're left with 163 hours. 163 hours, you're dealing with yourself. And we found out that that was 2.9%. So the time, you think you're doing all that by coming to church and coming to Bible study, you ain't even scratched the surface. So why did I do that? Because I'm trying to let you know, you can't just do the word with this 5 hour period when you add a time in the week, because it's not going to make an impact on your life. But if you take that word and apply that word Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, you're going to have some results. So you can't just come once or twice a week and think you're doing something. I got some folks that, oh yeah, well, I come every Sunday. Yeah, but it's not manifest. I can't see it. Because you're still in your mind. Because if you will let that word penetrate your things, ooh, can you imagine what life would be like if we would really let the word penetrate our life? I mean, every aspect of our life. So we have to have the right attitude about the word. Say this, the right attitude about the word. Make it personal. Say, I must have the right attitude about the word. Because we can take something that's truth, and if we have a bad attitude, it destroys it. For instance, some of us like to be sarcastic, right? What is sarcasm? When you, and correct me if I'm wrong, you say something that's true, but you say it like, it, you say it in a way that, you know, it's not really true. It distorts it. Like, you know, like Natrice is here. She's taking pictures. Hallelujah. And I think that's a wonderful scarf that she has on. I believe it's a nice scarf. What if I said, that's a nice scarf? Did I really mean that? No, Natrice, the first thing that I said was the truth. It's very nice. Yes. But I could take that truth and what? Say the same thing, but what? It's about your attitude. So we have to be careful about our attitude towards the word. Some of us, we act like the word is not important. Why? How do you know, Pastor Tom? Because I don't see you doing it. I don't see you speaking it. Like, for instance, I listen to believers say, well, I'm sick. Really? Why not just speak the word? Say, with his stripes, or in his stripes, I'm healed. Some folks say, I'm broke. Well, it's, the word says, let the poor say, rich. I'm tired. I'm weak. The word says, let the weak say, I'm strong. Now listen, I know there might be some tired, sick, and poor folk that walked in here. In your mind, that's where your attitude. But I'm here to tell you that you need to say what the word says about you. You need to receive that victory about what the word says about you. So you came in here like that, but hallelujah, you ain't got to leave out of here like that. Don't have to. Because listen, either in this day and age, we're going to have to believe that this word is true or not. We don't have no hope. But I've seen a lot of stuff on my 50 years on this terra firma. Well, 49 point. October will be 5-0. But I've seen a lot of stuff and I found that the word works. Does anybody know that the word works? Okay, so real quick, let's go to Revelations. So we understand that he's the word, Yeshua is the word, he's the logos, he's the living word, hallelujah. For us to be able to do this, we have to let the word become alive in us. And so Yeshua actually proclaimed this. He let us all know that he is the truth. He is the truth. He is the word with an infallible proof. See, stuff needs to make sense to me. I'm one of those dudes where it's like, show me. I'm a scientist. I got my degree in biochemistry. So it was all about proof. It was all about seeing results. It was all about trials and all that stuff. And even when Apostle brought the name of Yeshua from Israel, I was like, I gotta have a proof of that. I can't just take that. I gotta what? See it. And so for months, I was wrestling with that. Like, but the word says his name is Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. When I had nightmares, all I had to do was call on Jesus. And the monster would go away. And now you're telling me that that's not his name? It's like, well, son, that's not his name. So I had to wrap my head around that. But the Holy Spirit knows who we are. And he directed, he just said, dude, that's what he calls me. He's like, dude. He talks to everybody the way they need to be talked to. But dude, just open up the dictionary. And I was like, well, out of all the biochemistry and physical chemistry and calculus, 1, 2, 3, 4 books I got, dictionary is basic book. I mean, it doesn't have an axe to grind. The dictionary is not trying to prove anything or make a point. It's just trying to show us truth. So I looked at the dictionary and he said, look up Jesus. I said, okay. I looked it up and it said, from the Hebrew, Yeshua. I was like, wow, it's right there. And the Hebrew language is so descriptive. The words just jump out of the page when you look at it. And so I was like, I found truth. And guess what? It made sense. And so when Yeshua said he is the truth, I showed you this last week, Revelation is the first chapter. Go to the 10th verse. And remember, this was written in Greek and Hebrew. So it says, I was in the spirit. Do you see that? On the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And so what they were trying to say in the Greek here was that he's the first letter and he's the last letter. But in the Hebrew, the first letter is Aleph. And the last letter is Tav. So basically he's saying, hey, I am Aleph and Tav. That's who I am. Well, when we saw that's the left and top. Now we're going from the right to the left. And so in the Hebrew language, see the number one on the right side? That's what they read from the right to the left. We the ones that got it backwards. We read to the left, to the right, to the right. And so the first letter is Aleph, right? Have we established that the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet is Aleph, right? Now, the last letter is the Tav. Because that's what he was saying. He's saying, I'm the first letter and I'm the last letter, right? And so here, the last letter is Tav. Do we agree that the last letter is Tav? Okay, so guess what's interesting? In the middle is what we call a mem. And the middle letter in the Hebrew alphabet is a mem. Do we all agree that the middle letter is a mem? So guess what? If you take a left, and you take mem, and you take tav, guess what it spells? It spells emet. And in Hebrew, emet means true. So he showed us that not only am I the first and the last, I was here before and I'm the last, but I'm everything in between. And if you put it together, that means that I am emet. That means I am truth. I am exactly who I said I am. I am exactly what I said I am. I am the word. I am the truth. That's his proof. Now that makes sense. That's why we look at the original language, because it jumps out of the page. And then when he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, well, you understand. He is who he what? Said he is. So he is the way, he is the truth. He is the word, and he is the truth. And the beauty about emet, it means it's unadulterated. It's not messed up. It doesn't have anything added to it. It doesn't have anything taken away from it. It is in its true form. It is the truth. And it cannot be messed up. It's everything that he says he is. And so understanding this, when we go here to go to, I love this. Go here to, yes. Let's go here to First Samuel. Oh, wait. Don't do it. Go to John, the 8th chapter. So we're still in Yohanan. So we're going from the first verse to the 8th, or first chapter to the 8th chapter. You got it? So do we all have a consensus that he is the truth? Yes. All right. And he proved it to us. Even in the language, the letters are telling us exactly who he is. Okay, so John, the 8th chapter, the 51st verse. So Yeshua is walking this earth, and people, of course, are doubting him. So he's coming in contact with these people that are so-called believers, these religious people. And basically, he's speaking the word with confidence. Why is he speaking it with confidence? Because he believes it. Every word that he says comes from the Father, and he believes it. So when you believe something, you speak it with what? Confidence. You're bold. So I can locate some of you by the way you say, you speak the word. Well, I'm strong. Well, you strong, huh? It seems like if you're strong, you would speak with some, I'm strong. Right? You speak it. And so the words that he was speaking, he spoke with conviction. So here, Yohanan or John, the 8th chapter, the 51st verse says what? Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, if he keeps my word, if he does what my word says, he shall what? Never see death. Of course, we're talking about a spiritual, not just natural. He's talking about he's never going to see the spiritual death. He's going to live again, eternal life, if he does my words, right? And so these dudes came back at him and they said, then said the Jews unto him, now we know that thou is a devil, basically. Because Abraham is dead and the prophets. And you're saying, if a man keep my saying, he shall never taste of death. And then they came back at him and they were like, art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead? And the prophets are dead? Whom makest thou thyself? Can I give you the interpretation? Who do you think you are? I mean, who do you think you are? Abraham's dead. Our father Abraham is dead. And here you go talking about we should listen to you, because if we listen to you, we will never see death. Who do you think you are? How dare you have that come out of your mouth? Well, Yeshua wasn't tripping because he knew that was the truth. He knew he is the truth. And so, 54, I love Yeshua. He's just gangster with it. He is. Because he says, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom ye say that he is your God. Listen, I'm just the person that, I'm just of my Father. And it's not me trying to put myself up. My Father has made me the Word. My Father has put his glory in me. Right? And then you say that he's your God, but yet you won't accept me. What's you asking me, who do I think I am? What's wrong with you? Right? That's the conversation. And so 55 says, yet ye have not known him. See, you're saying that you're serving God, but I'm his son. He sent me here. You said you were looking for the Messiah. And he says, but yet you have not known him. But guess what? I know him. And if I should say I know him not, I'll be a liar like you are. Because you're saying that you know him, but you're not acting like it. But see, if I said I didn't know him, I would be a liar. But right now, you're the one that's lying. I'm trying to bring you, hey, yo, you, the truth is right here. It's smack in your face. And you're not receiving it. And so he says, but I know him, and I keep his saying. So then they tried to come back. And he says, your father, Abraham? Your father? He rejoiced to see my day. Wait, hold up for a second. What you trying, you saying that, listen to what Yeshua said. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. And he saw it. And guess what? He was glad. Then said the Jews to him, wait, thou art not yet 50 years old. You ain't old enough to say that you was kicking it with Abraham. How could you have kicked it with him? You're not even 50 years old. And you're saying you saw him? And Yeshua, again, in gangster style, says, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. And why could he say that? Because in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with Yahweh, and the Word was Yahweh, and the Word was what? Wrapped up in flesh. And that's not the only time that they did that. Yeshua kind of let people know that he was there from the beginning. Because these dudes tried to come in and they were saying, he sent out the 70 and he said, hey, you know, go out and share the gospel or whatever. And so they came back and it was like, Lord, oh my God, they were using this, the power that he gave them. And he says, Lord, even the devils are subject. I mean, we've been casting out devils. Even the devils are subject to thy name. And Yeshua was basically like, who are you talking to? What do you mean the demons are subject to my name? I was there. He said, I saw Lucifer fall. I was there when this whole thing started. I saw the head honcho fall. So I know. Why? Because I've been there from the beginning. Does anybody... Can we refute at all the fact that the Word has been there, Yeshua has been there from the very beginning? And the reason, 1 Samuel, and then I got to wrap this up because, wow, the clock is against me. Time is against me. You guys know how time is. It's chronos is the Greek word for time. It's time unfolding. Kairos is that moment in time where we have an opportunity to make a decision. And in these moments, we have to understand time is precious. But Kairos is even more precious because some of you are going to have an opportunity to speak the word, to speak something. You're going to be in a situation and you need to draw from something. And my prayer is that you draw from that logos and you speak it, and you allow it to become rhema in your life. There's moments for that. There are times. There are the appointed times, as we know in Hebrew, the mo'adim, the appointed times. And there's times that we need to understand and need to start speaking over ourselves. And so right here, 1 Samuel, the third chapter, the first verse says what? And the child Samuel ministered unto Yahweh before Eli. And the word of Yahweh was precious in those days. Guess what I believe? I believe it's still precious today. But it's the attitude that people had. They had a bad attitude because back in those days, he would audibly speak to people. But can you believe that God himself, Yahweh, was actually speaking to men and they ignored him? Kind of like how you do. When somebody trying to call you, and you don't, you act like you not there. You're screening your phone calls. You tell your kids, don't pick it up. Only you know why you're not trying to hear it. But that's the problem. Yahweh himself is trying to tell us stuff, and we would shut him down. His word is precious. Whatever he's trying to speak into your life, you better open up. You better receive it. You better understand that. And so he says, in those days, the words were precious. There was no vision, and there was no open vision. And the 19th verse says, and Samuel grew, and Yahweh was with him, and did let none of his words fall to the ground. And that's the problem. We're not... Yahweh's word, if we speak Yahweh's words, they'll never fall to the ground. He He says, my word does not return unto me void, but it accomplishes that which what I please. So we need to have the right attitude. And I'm going to take you here and go here to Luke. And I'm so thankful to understand this. To be able to deliver and speak life and allow rhema to manifest in your life, you got to have the right attitude about the word. So go to Luke, the 8th chapter, the 17th verse. And many people have messed up this scripture, but I'm here to reiterate and remind you the way it's supposed to go. Are you got it, Luke 18, 17? So go 17. It says, for nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. 18th verse. Take heed, therefore, how you hear. Many people have said, oh, take heed, be careful what you hear. Yeah. You need to be careful what you hear, but that's not what this is saying. Take heed how you hear. You got to have the right attitude. Let me give you, for instance, I worked at a company, a chemist there, and we had projects. So I'm working on one part of the project, and I have another chemist friend working on another part of the project. And so our boss was there. He was getting ready to leave for the day. You know, your bosses are real good in leaving you and then expecting you to what? Stay and do whatever it is. They done gone off. So the boss says, hey, guys, I got to run. But it would be great if you would finish this before you leave. Now, there are two of us there. We both heard the same thing. Now, in my mind, I said, okay, he said it would be great if we finish that before we leave. So, I know him. I know this dude. And basically, he's saying, you better finish that before you clock out. Now, my coworker is here, and I'm like, okay, dude, come on, let's get busy. He was like, ah, we don't have to do that right now. I said, wait. He said it would be great if we finish that. He said, no, he said it would be great. But he didn't say that we had to finish. Now, we both heard the same thing. But yet, the words that were left gave me an urgency, and the words that were left to him was like, psst. Be careful what? How are you here? So I said, dude, if I were you, I would just come on in here and let's what? Let's finish this thing. And so he was like, he said if we really wanted us to finish it, he would have said, you guys got to finish it. Because I've heard him say that before. But there was an urgency. Even though he said it would be great, there was an urgency there. So guess what? I stayed. He left. Now I could only do what I could do. I could only do my part. Right? Because I don't know nothing about your part. So, next day come. Hey, Tom, that was a great job. But he's like, where's the rest of it? I was like, well. So then, dude comes, my coworker. He's like 30 minutes late. I was there before, you know. I'm trying to make sure. Listen, if I could have covered for him, I would have. Because he's a good friend. But I can't. I don't know what your razzmatazzle is to it. I can just do what I do. And so I was like, you got to talk to him. So he waited for him and waited for him and waited for him. And so when he finally gets up, so now the boss is now, he's all heated. And so when he came in, he said, I thought I told you. Anybody got a boss like that? Don't raise your hand. He said, you didn't say that. You said it would be good. It would be great. He said, I told you guys to finish this. Long story short, Pastor Tom looked good. Why? Because not only did I have the right attitude, I had the right attitude, and I knew exactly what he was asking for. And that's the problem with us, is that the word is saying stuff, but we don't have the right attitude, and then we end up defeated. But I'm trying to tell you right now, and the word is saying, listen, you've got to be careful how you hear. Believe what you hear. Know that this is the truth. So when you apply it, you ain't going to reap nothing but victory. You're not going to have nothing but triumph in your life. You got to be careful how we hear. Because let me tell y'all something. There's something that Yahweh has put in each and every one of us. Haven't you always felt that there's something greater that he has for me? There's something that I need to do, and I have not yet put my finger on it? He put a seed in us. And like I was talking with Brittany, we were back here with prayer, and she was sharing just something about Ruth, about that it was a time in the last chapter, or the last verse in the first chapter, I believe, right? And it was a harvest time. And the harvest time, we think, is in the fall, but in the Hebrew time, it was really in the spring. It started off that whole thing. And there was an appointed time that for you to be able to reap the things that he has put inside of you, you have to show up at the right time, be there at the Moedim at that appointed time. And so there is breakthrough. So that's why we were a little happy back there, because it's like we're saying that the word is telling us, hey, there's breakthrough. The things that we've been praying about for years, some of the things that have been spoken over us and we haven't quite put our finger on it. The reason why is because you have not allowed that rhema become manifest and alive in your life yet. But there's some seeds, and I'm believing this, and I'm going to speak this over your life. If you get this concept of having the right attitude for the word, And allowing yourself to open up and let his will be your will, there's some seeds that he has planted in you. There's some breakthroughs. There's some stuff that you guys are going to walk into, that you're going to step into. And it's not just over here. It's over here. It's over here. It's over here. It's over there. It's on that back wall there. And all you got to do is start speaking this stuff into your life. Does anybody believe that the word is ready to be spoken and manifest in your life? It's what he's promised you. I'm going to get what he promised me, but I'm trying to help you out. I want you to get what he's promised you. You got to let it out. You got to release that. You've been believing. He's saying, yeah, believe. Keep on believing. It's going to happen. He's going to perform it. It's going to be manifest. And if there's anything that you've been believing him for, I'm challenging you right now to shout it out, to release it right now. Come on, you got the victory. It's there. It's right there. willingness. It's your willingness to be patient. It's your willingness to seek him. It's your willingness to not allow doubt to come in. It's your willingness to just speak his word. Not only speak it, stand on it. Because that's why he says he has a left and he is top. He says, I started something inside of you. If you stick with me, we're going to see it through the end. Thank you, God. Father, 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 we believe your word. Father, we believe your word is true. Father, we believe your word is true. Father, we believe your word is true. Your words, not our words, but your words. The thing that you've said, the power that you've given, the authority that you've released unto us. And all we have to do is grab hold of it. Believe it and let it become manifest in our life. So right now, our prayer all around the room, our prayer from every heart, Father, is that we begin to surrender, that we begin to open up for you, Father, that we will allow you to work the things in us that you've told us, the greatness that you said is inside. So right now, Father, as we continue to seek your face, continue to open our eyes, continue to reveal, continue to show, continue to confirm, hallelujah, your power and your might. Because Yahweh, if you see it, we want to see it. If you say it, we want to believe it. If you manifest it, we want to recognize it. So right now, Father, open us up. Show us, teach us, guide us. And we thank you, praise you. Not only that, we trust you. We trust you. We believe you. We trust you. We thank you, Father. Precious name we pray. Aman and Aman. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.